Good afternoon and welcome to the midday. I'm Stephanie Elkins in for Norman Gilliland, and thank you for spending some of your time with WPR today. There is a quiz question coming your way at 12:30 and a nice prize. I hope you'll be listening in for that. And in the meantime, there's music, including the heroic Polonaise by Chopin. But first, I have a special guest in the studio, in our little teeny temporary studio, Kyle Knox, the music director of the Wisconsin Youth Symphony Orchestras. Welcome to the midday, Kyle.
Very nice to be here. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming in. And first of all, congratulations on your fairly new post with WISO. And not only are you music director, but you're also the conductor of one of the ensembles. Did I get that right?
Yeah, that's right. So we have five different orchestras and a whole chamber music program and various other offerings. But our oldest, most experienced orchestra is the Youth Orchestra. That's sort of the flagship ensemble. And in addition to being the music director of the organization, I conduct that group.
And that's not the only conducting gig that you have gotten recently. Tell us about the other one.
That's right. So as of last year, so I took over these roles simultaneously. I became the associate conductor. So I'm assistant conductor to John Demain, essentially, at the Madison Symphony. So yeah, those two things go together very nicely.
Congratulations.
Thanks. Yeah, it's wonderful.
How are you enjoying that?
It's been great. I get to sort of have a foot in each world. The kids in WISO are amazing, and they play on a very advanced level, so you can really do a lot with them. And working with professionals is kind of the cloth that I'm cut from initially in my previous life as a clarinetist. So you know, it's a nice mixture of challenges, and they represent sort of different opportunities artistically, you know.
So we often showcase some of the chamber ensembles here from WISO, but WISO stands for Wisconsin Youth Symphony Orchestras. And can you tell us a little bit about the organization?
That's right. Yeah, so the organization, let's see if I get this number right. I'm in my second year, but they go back 54 or 55 years, I think. It was founded by Marvin Rabin. And it's just, technically we serve the entire state, although, of course, we're out of Madison. We have about 600 total students.
600?
That's right, yeah. 600 total students. There's five different orchestras, a whole chamber music division, a brass ensemble, a percussion ensemble. We bring in guest artists for master classes. We do concerts throughout the year. We also, as of a few years ago, took over Madison Music Makers, which is a group founded by Bonnie Green, which is also a wonderful organization that provides music lessons to kids throughout the city. So it's really quite a robust operation, and makes a big difference in a lot of kids' lives.
And Music Makers, I know of in an ancillary way, they help provide lessons for kids who wouldn't otherwise be able to afford instruments and lessons.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
Boy, so you've got your fingers in a lot of pies.
I do. I'm learning a lot in this process. It's a steep curve.
Not to mention all the conducting. Now, you started as a clarinetist. You were an orchestral clarinetist. And I think, if I read correctly, you had a super great career going. You were at Milwaukee Symphony Orchestra, right?
That's right. Yeah, I've told this story many times in the last 2 years. I hope people aren't bored of hearing it. But yeah, so I went to school at Juilliard. And then after my undergrad, I spent a year kind of like in the wild, as it were. And then I got a job in the Milwaukee Symphony. I was kind of auditioning all around the country for jobs, got that gig. And a lot of things happened very quickly for me. I started working with the Santa Fe Opera. I was teaching at the university there. And so I had no interest in conducting. I hadn't even crossed my mind. I was in my 20s. I just was living my life. It was going according to plan. And then I injured my hand, and that sort of lemonade out of lemons, I guess you could say. And that's sort of what led me to conducting. So that's sort of how that came about.
It's, boy, talk about lemonade out of lemons, and what a marvelous career to be blossoming into.
Yeah, I think I got in just early enough. I think had it happened a few years later, I would have been too old to transition. But I thought, okay, my brain is still plastic enough to do something new. So
yeah, right. Well, you're here because you're working on a project that's going to be presented on Sunday, and it is music by Stravinsky,
right.
A piece that we don't generally share on the radio too much because it's kind of a multimedia piece. So why don't you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, it's L'Histoire du Soldat, which means the soldier's tale. This is a great masterpiece of 20th century music, of course, by Igor Stravinsky, one of the most important composers of that century. It's a modernist work. I mean, it's tonal and completely accessible, but it showcases all of the things you expect from Stravinsky. You know, he wrote The Rite of Spring and Petrushka and The Firebird, so it's very rhythmic, it's very spicy and very unexpected and a little bit mischievous, and there's unexpected accents and syncopations, and it sort of sounds accessible and normal, except it's not. Everything's a little bit off kilter. He puts the beats in the wrong places, and it's very playful in this way.
He does have us always perking up our ears. Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Why don't we hear a little bit of an excerpt, since you've made it so interesting?
Sure. Yeah, this is The Airs by a Stream. This is actually right at the very beginning of the piece. And the story is basically a soldier is a deserter from war, and he's traveling across the land, and he's reminiscing. He stops by a brook, and he has a fiddle on him. He's a fiddle player. And he starts playing, and he's thinking about his wife and his mom and the small-town life and the simple things in life that he's going to be returning to.
That was a quick little taste of some of the music that you're working on.
That's right. And you can get a sense of, I mean, even in that short example, you have bum, 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 this very simple bass ostinato. It's like harmonically very simple, not much happening. It's just sort of an upright jazz bass player. But if you look at the score, you can't really tap your foot to it very easily because there's like 2-4 and then a 3-8 and then suddenly things are off kilter. So it's much more complex than it sounds. That's one of the illusions that he plays.
It must be fun for the performers to play.
Fun. Something.
Once it's mastered.
Yeah, you smile through it in any event.
And you've put together kind of an all-star ensemble. These are not the students that are performing. This is your wife, who is concertmaster Naha Greenholz for the Madison Symphony Orchestra,
right.
Superstar clarinetist J.J. Coe, who's performing,
right.
Tom Macaluso, trombone,
that's
who's
right.
I know got his PhD at UW here, and
right.
a whole host of other fabulous
that's
performers.
Right. Yeah, some other professionals. Jeff Takaki will be playing bass. Our very own Joe Bernstein is playing this very famous percussion part. He's a wonderful percussionist and also on staff.
Oh, I know him from the Kissers, I think.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
he plays with the Kissers. That's right. Brian Ellingbow's playing this famous bassoon part. He's a great local professional bassoonist, also works for WISO, and Matt Onstad, who's a terrific principal trumpet of the Quad City Symphony and a friend of mine, he'll be playing with us. So really a terrific, terrific group.
Great. And it sounds like there's a challenging part for each of them.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's fiendishly difficult at times.
Right. Let's hear another excerpt. What would you like to share with us next?
This is The Princess Dances. So basically, at this point, the soldier has, it's a little bit of a convoluted story, kind of a Faustian tale. But the devil has, it has come to the soldier's attention that the king's daughter is in a coma, essentially, and they're looking for someone who can save her. And so I won't get into the details, but the soldier has reclaimed his violin, which he bartered away to the devil. And with it, in newly inspired, he plays these dances to bring her back to life. The first is a tango, the second is a waltz, and the last is a ragtime.
Asleep and motionless on her bed, the princess lay. The soldier enters, takes up his violin, and begins to play. Turning her, the princess throws the soldier a glance. She gets out of bed and begins to dance.
And the soldier is now playing a waltz, so the series of dances. And we heard a little bit of the narration at the beginning, and you were also talking about the drum part as being kind of famous.
That's right. There's kind of a funny story here. So you can hear there's a lot of popular music integration into this music. Stravinsky, we think of as an art music composer, you know, the classical, like a modernist. But he was really interested in jazz. So this is 1917. He's writing this, premiered in 1918. And he'd heard about this ensemble called the Preservation Hall Jazz Band, who was on tour, but he hadn't heard them, you know. Recordings not so available those days. So he'd had some sheet music given to him by the conductor Ansermé of ragtimes, and it's kind of a funny thing. So he'd seen what jazz harmonies look like on the page.
On paper.
And he'd had this Preservation Hall Jazz Band describe to him what a drum set is. Like we think of drum sets, rock and roll and jazz and all kinds of stuff. It's a modern invention. But in those days, it really didn't exist. It was its early stages. And so the percussion part you heard there in this dialogue between the violin and the percussionist is Stravinsky's imagination of what a drum set must be like based on what he like read in newspaper articles and various reviews. And so when you look at the percussion, it's a very famous percussion part, like one of the first really early percussion dedicated pieces of music that has all the bells and whistles and the players surrounded. So there's not a kick, you know, you don't use your foot, you hit a bass drum, but all of those effects are simulated. It's his, like an alien's conception of what a rock drum set must be like.
Yeah. All from looking at the paper.
That's right.
Oh, isn't that? That's fascinating. Well, and we heard the narrator, and it's a multimedia piece, and there is a narrator who speaks all of the parts, not just the narrator, but he speaks as the soldier and so forth. And you have a guest narrator who is very well known and loved by all of us. And if you're interested, you'll have to go to the website and find out who that's going to be.
That's right.
Yeah, right. It's going to be, the show is on Sunday.
That's right. Sunday at 4:30 p.m. It's at the Union Theater in the Place Circle Theater there. And you can find out information about that at wiso.org.
It's going to be a fabulous show. It just sounds wonderful. And again, that Faustian legend and lots of multimedia stuff happening.
That's
and
right.
Mystery guest narrator and all of that.
That's so. Right. Yeah, originally it was actually designed to be played, narrated, acted, and danced. Of course, Stravinsky is famous for his collaborations with Diaghilev and the Ballet Russe. And this piece was actually, of course, he had great skill at that and had a lot of experience through the Rite of Spring and Firebird and all this. And the piece came about, it was during World War I and money was short. And due to the Russian Revolution, his royalties had dried up, actually. So he needed money. And so the whole conception of this piece, because of his experience with ballet, was to be able to be done on a shoestring budget. Could be done pretty cheaply, which is why there's so few instruments. So he wanted basically like almost a jazz band. If there's a treble and a bass instrument of every family, you have a clarinet, the high woodwind, and a bassoon, the low woodwind. You have a violin, the high string, and a bass. And you have a cornet, and you have a trombone, and then you have percussion, so seven players. So he thought he could do this cheaply, and he thought, you know, but I want to have it be a multimedia thing and tell a story that I think is relevant to wartime, etc. And so that's really where all the components came together.
That's fascinating. And if you're interested in seeing that in person in Madison, you can go to wiso.org. Well, Kyle Knox, thank you so much for coming in. Really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
It's been nice to hear about your career, and best of luck in all of your conducting, and it'll be fun to see where all that takes you.
Much appreciated.
And we'll listen to one more excerpt as we go out. This is from Soldier's Tale by Stravinsky.